6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deep. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report. The podcast, with its quest to catch them all, is still ahead of Team Rocket. My name is Drew. I'll be your host for the evening. Along with me, as always, is my brother Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm here. We're keeping this Pokemon train going. We ended the last episode with Pokemon. We're starting this one with Pokemon. You know, and I think, Drew, I think me and you are both terribly casual Pokemon fans. I don't know what's going on.
You know what's funny is, so I was working at a game store. Not like a Games Workshop, but like a game store that like sells collectible card games and Warhammer and like D&D books and like that kind of stuff. And it was one of my favorite jobs. It was awesome, but it was at the dawn of the Pokemon cards. Like Pokemon was just releasing. It was the beginning of the craze. And I remember everyone was going nuts over it. And I'm like, all right, this could be worth something. So I remember buying a starter deck and never opening it. I still have it. It is sitting here in the house. It's still sitting in the house, still sealed in the original cellophane. I do wonder what I could sell that for. And I know hopefully someone's listening is going, dude, you know, I just don't know how to go about
it. Hot right now. Like Pokemon is so hot. You might want to right now in the world of pop culture, you might want to price that out because people are dropping like lots of money on Pokemon cards right now. So just saying, but I don't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
No, it's all good. I bought it on a whim. It's a single starter deck. Like it's not like a pack. It's just a single starter deck and it has never been opened.
Awesome.
But at any rate, I never, in the realm of the card games, I never got into it. There were other card games I played, but I never really got the Pokemon craze. However, someone said I should try the Game Boy game. Because that's the only way you could play Pokemon, right? So smart of them to make that game portable and not like a home version. But like, here's the Pokemon, here's the Game Boy game. And that's when I was like, oh, I get it. And I had so much, and I played Blue, Pokemon Blue. I played Sapphire and I played Emerald and I played one of the other ones. I forget what it was, but, yeah, the Game Boy games were phenomenal. But yeah, anyway.
Right on. Yeah, I've always had a love-hate relationship with Pokemon. Like, part of me thinks it's cool and thinks parts of the franchise is cool. And then sometimes it just drives me crazy. And it really depends on how many people I'm around that are huge Pokemon fans and how much they talk about it. But I do think Pokemon's really fun. It's just one of those franchises where, like, depending on the time, I'm either like, I think it's really cool or I think it's really annoying. But yeah, I've always been half in and half out. I never played any of the actual video games, but I played the card game a bit, and I watched a ton of the cartoon back in the day. So I'm super casual when it comes to Pokemon, but yeah, there you have it. There's our Pokemon history. So.
As we change the episode into PokeCast.
We still haven't done our top five favorite Pokemon, so that could be pretty interesting.
That could be interesting, and that'd make me have to go, do I even have a Pokédex in the house? That'd be the real question. And you know what?
If you stick to the original 150, you can't go wrong. You know, those are all classics, but what were you saying?
That is true. I was just thinking to myself, in my library, I feel like I should get a Pokédex just to have one, because it's technically a reference manual.
Yeah.
I always liked the bit in Stranger Things when they were trying to solve the problem. And they break out the D&D book and they're like, no, a mind flayer. And they're like going through like the details and the rules and like they're going through the stats and like, no, this is how it works. And then Hopper's like, why are we looking at a kid's game for the answers? And he goes, it's not a kid's game. It's a manual.
Absolutely. And that's a great thing. Like, it's great to have like that Pokedex on your bookshelf just in case, you know, just in case Detective Pikachu becomes real. But no, yeah. Awesome stuff.
Anyway, enough with that nonsense. Hey, let's jump in to the episode, man. Unless you have something extra pressing that you need to talk about, let's talk about your watching and reading.
Yeah, not really anything super pressing. I also like barely have any watching and reading, so I guess this Pokemon tangent isn't too badly placed at the beginning of our episode. But the only thing I've really been watching is still watching Cobra Kai. I'm honestly like almost done with the series, which is pretty awesome.
You're gonna want to watch the last three episodes back to back to back. And maybe the last four episodes back to back to back.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And that might be something that happens shortly. I don't know how many more episodes are in the season that
well, you're
I'm
on
watching,
season six.
Is, yep, season six.
Okay, so season six was.
I'll keep going.
Sorry, season six was broken down into three parts. They dropped them in five episode chunks, so it's like 15 episodes total.
That makes sense. That's okay. A very Netflix thing to do, but that actually makes sense. Because I was watching it and I was like, I couldn't figure out how many episodes there were. Because I think there's previous seasons that only have like 10 episodes. And I think I'm like probably just breaking into the last chunk of episodes, I would assume. I don't know what number I'm on, but just to kind of clarify, Drew, I'm right where, so there's the Sekai Taikai tournament. Yeah. And that ends in like a huge brawl. I can't remember the character's name, but the one character almost or basically accidentally stabs himself during the fight.
Yeah,
a kid dies. The tournament's put on hiatus. Everybody goes back to their daily lives, and basically where we left off is right when all the senseis agreed. Like, of course, Daniel LaRusso is the last to agree, but they're actually gonna revive the tournament and actually see it to its end. And that's kind of where I left off, is like everybody's yeah. excited to go back to the Sekai Taikai, and I don't know what's going to happen next, but this season's awesome. And
did
I'm
they
absolutely
say where they're
going to
hold
so.
Did they say where they're going to hold it?
No, I'm actually really okay. curious about that. I'm okay. wondering if it's going to be like in Okinawa or something like that, but I'm really intrigued. I was kind of I thought it was interesting that the original location was Barcelona, because that worked from a story standpoint. But then part of me is like, I'm surprised they're not going to Japan or something like that. But then when it comes to all the plane rides with the characters having to go back and forth, I was a little bit like, I don't know if they could have done Japan and still done this storyline. So I'm excited to see where it goes from here, though.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm really glad you're enjoying the show. That's the other thing, is like, I knew you were going to like it, but I'm really glad you're enjoying it as much as you are.
So. No, I absolutely love it. It's it's my kid's been in karate for the last couple years, and it's kind of like cool to get into it from like a martial arts standpoint. That being said, the show is very unrealistic if you want to compare it to like actual karate, but it is like really cool, fun martial art vibes, and the fight scenes are amazing and all that. So I'm loving that. But it's also just the 80s throwback stuff, whether it's the music, whether it's the pop culture references, whether it's standing back and realizing that Johnny Lawrence is really who you want to be in life. Like, as much as you have all these hopes and dreams, maybe you should be more like Johnny Lawrence. I think all that stuff I'm really enjoying. So yeah, I absolutely
maybe
enjoy the show
you should
so far,
be like
so.
Johnny Lawrence.
Maybe you should take it easy. Have a Coors Banquet and just take it easy for a bit.
Yeah, so. It's so funny that like you're still like, no matter how it looks, you're just like, yes, Johnny Lawrence, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, best character.
And
the
other thing that I've noticed about Johnny is. Like, he starts off and you're like, wow, he's such a good fighter. And then there's certain fight scenes where you're just like, man, Johnny kind of sucks right now. I don't know why they're making him seem like he's not that good. But then he always has that redemption, you know, where like maybe he loses one fight that he's involved in. But the next time he's in a fight scene, he's going to like kick some more ass. So it does have that moments where you're always rooting for Johnny. And whenever he's not doing good enough, it always stings a little bit. But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, man, I
can't wait for you to keep going.
Yeah, I imagine next week I'm going to have a full review of the entire series, because cool. I'm sure I'll cool. finish it by next week.
I look forward to it.
And then after that, I'll keep going, keep going.
I was just
going
to say, and now that we've turned this into the Cobra Kai cast, what
Well, I was going to say, after that, I'm hoping to jump into Wednesday season 2, because I didn't realize that came out like yesterday, I want to say.
Oh, really? Crap, okay.
Yeah, it just dropped. Like, me and my wife started watching Cobra Kai last night, and I was like, oh, crap, Wednesday's out. Do we need to pause and watch that? But I think we're going to finish Cobra Kai first.
Close.
What do you got going this week? I literally have nothing else. I had a very sparse watching week, so.
All right, I have two movies in the midst of my busy, busy schedule, the midst of the fact that my house is under construction. I have two movies that I got in. First, I watched a movie called The Materialists. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or the thumbnail or the commercial for it at all. You have Chris Evans, Dakota Johnson, and surprise, surprise, Pedro Pascal. And I don't even want to classify this as a rom-com. This to me was more of a chick flick. Dakota Johnson plays like a matchmaker, and she starts dating Pedro Pascal, who's this like rich Wall Street guy. But Chris Evans, who's the poor, struggling, starving actor, who is her ex-boyfriend, and it's kind of all about the material possessions that women look for, the rich lifestyle, the nice house, the stable bank account, all that stuff. But in the end, I know you're probably not going to watch this, but in the end, spoilers, she ends up with Chris Evans because of the life choices, you know what I mean? Not the life choices in terms of the rich background, but the life choices in the, he's the wholesome, normal guy that women want because he's the right for them, kind of, you know what I mean? It's the nice guys finish last, if you will.
Nice.
Chris Evans was great in it. Dakota Johnson was phenomenal in it. Pedro Pascal, in my opinion, he was fine. I think my frustration with that was, and my issue with that was, it's Pedro Pascal again, you know, because he's in everything, you know, like I can't even imagine what his schedule looks like. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, overall, overall, I enjoyed the movie. So there you go.
Is this like on one of the streaming apps? I'm totally unfamiliar with this one.
I think it was on Amazon.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a little bit of a soft spot for Dakota Johnson movies. So, I really like enjoy her as an actress. So it's kind of like, oh, Dakota Johnson. Sure. Why not? You know?
Yeah. And she's kind of has a moment. It's actually interesting. I've heard people say that, her and Sydney Sweeney are the only actors in Hollywood history who have ever, boosted their career from being in a flop, but like from Madam Web not doing super well, both of those actresses actually got like more in the spotlight because of the way they handled the marketing. And I think that's like really impressive. But yeah, this one, it's not like I'm against watching it. It's probably not super high on my watch list, but sounds interesting. Yeah. I'll keep it on my radar.
Yeah. I don't expect you to be like, dude, I watched Cobra Kai, finished it. But we have to talk about The Materialists.
Right on.
So, and the other thing that I watched, which was way more fun, was Death of a Unicorn.
I want to check this out so bad. I'm so excited about this.
This movie is so much fun. I'm going to set the stage for you because it's the opening 5 minutes of the movie. It's not a spoiler and it's part of the title, so who cares? You got Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega are in a car, father daughter on a trip, going through, it's somewhere up north. I'm willing to bet you it's like a Canada kind of thing. They don't really ever tell you, which is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It just, my assumption is like a Canada, Alaska kind of area.
Okay.
And Paul Rudd it's partial business, partial pleasure. So like he's got a client that he's going to meet at their really rich estate, to do a quick business deal and then to get a weekend of relaxation. Right. And to get out of Dodge for a little while. Between the two of them, it's very clear that I believe that, you know, it's kind of like a mom passed away sort of thing. Dad and daughter need to, you know, get back to reality, you know, have a just a weekend, just the two of them kind of a thing. That's what you gather. So they're in the car driving, and in the midst of like looking down and not looking up, and animals in the roadway, and they hit it. And you're like, was it a deer? And as a viewer, you know, it was a unicorn.
Sure. If you're watching this movie and you ask, is it a deer? Like, give me a break. No, yeah. Sounds good. Keep going.
Like, you know, it's a unicorn, but it's like they do it like maybe he hit a deer, you know, and they're out. They get out of the car. They don't know what to do with it. The unicorn like blood like splatters on Jenna Ortega, gets in her face, and then with Paul Rudd, it gets in his eyes. And anyway, they wipe off the blood, whatever. They get up to the house. You find out that they didn't know what to do with said unicorn, so they basically put it in the back of their car. Kind of like it's a la Tommy Boy with the deer when they hit the deer.
Right.
So they go into the house. They're talking. Suddenly the unicorn wakes up and it tries to bust out of the car. And in the midst of everything, the unicorn ends up dying again. Now everyone in the house knows that they have a unicorn. I'm only spoiling this because this is literally probably the first 10 minutes of the movie. So now everyone's like has this dead unicorn, and the people in the house, like a client or whatever, is like, oh my God, this is a unicorn, right? So, but they're all standing around the body of the unicorn and they're all trying their best not to say what it is, even though they all know. And Jenna Ortega just goes, it's an effing unicorn.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. Even me spoiling that line, you're going to laugh at the line because it's so good. It's so well played, though, that scene is done. But you got Tia Leone, Will Poulter, who just kills it in this movie. Tia Leone's phenomenal. Richard E. Grant just comes in and chews scenery, man. Like, they put this movie together so well. It is so much fun. It's a roller coaster of a ride. It essentially becomes a creature feature, if you will. It's a lot of fun, man. So, yeah, I look forward to your review when you finally get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, because this is A24, right?
Yes. Studio. Yeah.
Yeah, and A24 is so well known for, like, you know, Hereditary or The Witch or all these, like, really sort of like highbrow elevated horror movies, and Death of a Unicorn is put out by the studio. So I assume that the production quality and the storyline, I'm assuming that it's very quality, but it's still Death of a Unicorn. So I imagine there are those weird fantasy elements. There's those weird like latex horror throwback, like gore elements. So I am so excited for this. It's one of those things, every time I turn the TV on to watch something, lately it's just been Cobra Kai. And this is another one of those things, like, I gotta watch Death of a Unicorn. I just haven't found the time yet. But, you know, we're going back to the Sekai Taikai tournament. So, that's, you know, there's precedence. There's more important things I need to do first. But, absolutely, no, good man. Stuff. I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, I just look forward to your review. It's really fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's what I have for watching and reading, man. That's what I was able to lock in. So there you go.
Did you do those as a double feature, like The Materialist into Death of a Unicorn?
I guess so.
I didn't know if it was like, let's sit down and watch some movies. You know, I've got The Materialists and Death of a Unicorn. These two go together, right?
I mean, I guess you could, but I would suggest doing The Materialist first.
Fair enough.
All right. Do you want to talk about tonight's news?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Great. All right. We have a couple things that are actually kind of eye-opening stuff. It's kind of cool. First off, let's talk about Game of Thrones. We haven't had some Game of Thrones news in a little bit. So Game of Thrones, we have two spinoffs now. We have House of the Dragon, which we've had two seasons for. And season supposed to come out soon-ish, right? Sometime next year. And we're supposed to have, at the end of this year, we're supposed to get Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which I am very excited for, just because it's more world of Westeros. And it's the tale of Duncan the Tall or the adventures of Duncan Egg, which will make more sense to people as you watch the show. This is what's cool, though. The show has not even aired yet. and they've already renewed it for a season two and a season three, which means studio execs are very pleased what they have. And a little bit of eye opening is it's probably only going to be like 6 episodes of a season, which is kind of cool just for the short run. And the episodes are going to be like 30 to 35 minutes each only.
Wow. Okay.
So it's going to be short. It's going to be like a short, it's going to be like little mini series to kind of palate cleanse you before you get back to House of the Dragon. Right. And House of the Dragon is only supposed to have 4 seasons in total. And then this is going to have 2 to 3 seasons, which is cool. And then I don't know what comes about Westeros after that, but there you go. You know what I mean? So yeah, no, I thought no, that was, go ahead.
Oh, keep going. Yeah, no, I just love it. There's not a lot to say. It's just a lot of good news. I think the shorter run times, I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like that's something that we might see more of moving forward, because just everybody's time or everybody's attention span is so short right now. Like, everybody's so used to those, like watching those 30-second TikToks, and sometimes sitting through an hour-long TV episode is just too much for some people, I guess. But no, I think it's pretty cool. It doesn't sound like it's going to be hard to keep up with, which is kind of nice. And yeah, it'll be pretty exciting to have like a short, like 6-episode miniseries, like, you know, half an hour long per episode, and then also have like House of the Dragon running. I'm just excited to get back.
Pete. Oh man, this is that thing. I hope I didn't lose him again. Now here I am talking. Oh, there you are. I lost you for a minute.
And I don't know what you missed. My main point was, I
could get back, and I'm pretty sure you said to Westeros.
Exactly. Excited to get back to Westeros, get back to some Game of Thrones storytelling. It's
okay.
Been
we'll fix the gap in post. We'll fix it in post. Edit. If anyone's listened to the show, every time I say I fix it in post, I don't fix it on purpose because I think it's funny. But yes, no, I'm excited to get back to Westeros just like you.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Next story. Like I said, there's not a lot today. We had what I feel like we had mediocre news coming out of Comic-Con and a ton of it. And then we had some major things hit in between, and I don't mind the shorter, news week kind of thing. Critical Role, announced, they are the ones really dropping news. Vox Machina, we told we were getting a 5th and final season, so we're getting season 4, a season 5, and then Vox Machina's done. We're right now getting the seasons of Mighty 9, which I can't wait to see, and one of them comes out this year. And then Critical Role has done 3 campaigns of their live play Dungeons & Dragons show, and they're about to start campaign 4, and they made a big campaign 4 announcement. Now, if you don't keep up with the tabletop role-playing game world, Critical Role has also released their own tabletop game to rival Dungeons & Dragons. And it probably, they probably were working on this long before the big licensing problem that Dungeons & Dragons had when they were getting ready to do the new books. If you remember, Peter, we talked about that because of that big licensing thing that was going to mess with third-party publishers and stuff. Do you remember that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So in the realm of their stuff, they have released their own role-playing game called Daggerheart. And I've heard really good things about the game. I have not tried it yet. I've not read any rules about it. The book looks very pretty. I've heard a lot of things about some rules. There's definitely some rules in there that I think are really cool and could be, and even if you find a cool amalgamation, because like as a DM, you can pull rules from other things to kind of create the game that you need to create. So even if you just did it as an amalgamation and like borrowed stuff and whatever the case may be, I think there's some cool rules in there that I think I really like. Daggerheart looks cool. I would like to try it sometime, but I'm not in any rush because it's hard to, you know, when you're in the middle of a campaign with players, you're not going to be like, "Ooh, we're going to switch systems," you know? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Keep going.
But Critical Role announced campaign 4, and Matt Mercer is officially not going to be the dungeon master or game master, as they referred to. People think that's a little telling that they said game master and not dungeon master, meaning that means they won't be using Dungeons and Dragons as their format for campaign 4. I don't know what to say about that just necessarily, because they could be. They also could be making an amalgamation of Daggerheart and Dungeons & Dragons. They could be just straight Daggerheart. We don't know yet. They haven't answered that question. But Matt Mercer is no longer going to be a Dungeon Master, which is very strange for Critical Role. However, he will be a player this time for the entire campaign.
Awesome.
And it might just be Matt going, hey, I just did three campaigns and I do all these side adventures and stuff. I would like to be on the other side of the screen for a campaign and then maybe go back. Right. So he'll be still there. He'll be on the other side of the screen for a change. But the person who will be dungeon mastering campaign four for Critical Role is Brennan Lee Mulligan. He is most known for probably Dimension 20 live play Dungeons and Dragons show. He has, in my opinion, next to Matt Mercer, he is the second world building dungeon master that's out there. It'd be like, if I was going to put him in my favorites, it'd be Matt Mercer and then Brennan Lee Mulligan right there. The two of them neck and neck, with Brennan Lee Mulligan, the close second, but he's going to be joining the cast as the dungeon master for campaign four. In a whole new world. So it'll be a completely brand new thing. They won't be doing the anywhere near Vox Machina or Mighty Nine, Bell's Hells, any of that. All the Exandria stuff is over in terms of the live play. They're going to be doing something completely new. So
nice. And, maybe I'll, jump on to, campaign four and actually listen this time.
Well, you can jump on. You can jump onto any of it because campaign one, two, and three are done. You can technically just fire up the podcast, or you could do it on YouTube and watch. Because
yeah, but it might be fun to just be current and then go into the back catalog later. But it all sounds like keep going.
I was just gonna to your point. It's kind of cool to like be current, and the back catalog gets told through the animated shows for you.
Oh, that is an interesting idea. I'll have to keep that in mind. What I was going to say is all this news sounds really awesome. It's really cool that Critical Role is still conquering the world. That's really great news. The whole Daggerheart situation, I feel like if they're doing a new campaign and they have like their own tabletop RPG that has released, they have to play that system. Like, it's got to be a Daggerheart campaign that we're going into. And the reason I say that is because I feel like at this point it's kind of a conflict of interest to still be playing D&D on your live show when you have this competing role-playing game. And when it comes to Daggerheart, I hope, and I don't know if this is the case because I don't know a lot about it, obviously, but I hope that Critical Role is okay with other YouTubers and other, streamers and whatever it is using Daggerheart and potentially monetizing their stuff. Because then if they're not doing that, they're kind of doing what Wizards of the Coast did to them when D&D said you couldn't do that. But right. I hope they do that because it's one of those things. If Critical Role is doing this new, well, I mean, I don't know how new it is, but you know what I mean? Like this newer RPG system.
Their RPG, this Daggerheart released like a month ago. It is new. I would love to get my hands on it, but that's why I haven't got, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. No, very new. And yes, even if you got your hands on it, you got to read through it. It might be like a couple months at least before you're ready to, you know, before you structure your game, you're going to play, you know, send all your friends through. But my point is Critical Role, the biggest like tabletop RPG podcast out there, if they're doing this new book, that is huge. You know, that is like direct competition to Dungeons and Dragons. And I feel like D&D and Wizard of the Coast is sitting over here going like, oh crap, they're probably going to sell a lot of this book and people are going to flock towards it because of this fun podcast and YouTube channel that's showcasing
an animated show and like everything, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so failure on Wizards of the Coast, I guess, but I know. Really cool stuff.
And Wizards of the Coast, I wouldn't count them out, you know. D&D is it's the original. It's been around for as long as it has. I know people are not as thrilled with the 2024 rules, but I don't know if people have embraced them yet. So I don't want to say like, it's, you know what I mean? I've like half embraced it because the backwards compatibility and the way all the books are supposed to work together. But I'm still kind of learning some of the new mechanics that they've added. The Daggerheart system, I really like some of the things I've read, and there's a couple things there that I'm not a fan of, but that's just minutia on my part. You know, that's just kind of like, you know, but I haven't actually played the game yet. I'd like to get a copy of it, but it's hard to get right now because it's kind of sold out everywhere.
I'll
get my hands on it at some point. So,
and when it comes down to it, I feel like you're never going to find that one perfect RPG for you. Like, the only way to make it perfect to what you want it to be is probably to make your own. You know what I mean? So, like, sure. You know, I'm sure D&D has some aspects that, like, you're not, like, the biggest fan of, but it's just part of the game and you have to deal with it, you know.
And that's where Dungeons & Dragons, I think, excels in the sense that if you don't like a rule as a dungeon master, you don't have to use that rule.
Yes.
That's why we have house rules. You're like, look, I am not going to, like, because there is time rules. And I'm not talking about, like, time travel. I'm talking about, like, if I were to have a clock and be like, yeah, it's been exactly 30 minutes. Like, there's rules for that in the game, which that just makes it so complicated. So I usually skip over that and just be like, do we know what time it is? Yeah, it's about lunchtime. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I feel like you can't get too strict with that. Because, like, how many times have you played, like, you know, whether it's a Final Fantasy game or, like, my favorite JRPG is Legend of the Dragoon, which I'll bring up sometimes. But how many times do you sit and stare at, like, your, you know, your item inventory and you're shifting stuff around and just adjusting stats? And it's like you're spending a whole hour just doing that when you're playing, like, a JRPG, you know, like an old school turn-based thing. In D&D, I feel like it should be the same way. Like, yes, like in an encounter, like everybody does their moves and each move is like 6 seconds or whatever it is. That's fair. But when it comes to the broader story, I feel like you can't be super strict on the timeline like that. You know what I mean? So
agreed.
The last thing I'll say about Critical Role, and I don't know if I said this on our last episode, but I definitely was thinking it. When's Critical Con coming? Like, Critical Role, I feel like they have...
Oh, at what
huge
point?
Huge podcast, yeah. Huge YouTube channel, animated series. They're probably
They do a live show and they sell out Wembley Stadium. And you're like, wait, that was a stadium where Live Aid was, right?
Yes. And when is Critical Role Con coming? Because I feel like that's the one thing they need is the massive convention for both their game and tabletop RPGs in general, and maybe indie games and who knows what else. So.
Agreed. So yeah, Critical Role, I know you're listening. or I hope you are. When's your convention coming? Absolutely. All right. Moving on. Two more stories. This one is the big one. Hulu is officially shutting down. As a platform, it's shutting down because it's gonna be consumed 100% into Disney Plus. I think we all knew this coming. I think we've all been braced for it. There's a Hulu tab in the Disney Plus window. I think it's all been a thing, but officially they will be combining. You will probably get a warning, but I have a feeling it will. I have a feeling nothing will change. Like, you will just be there, and then all of a sudden you will log into Disney Plus and everything will be there for you. Quote from Bob Iger, CEO of Disney: today we are announcing a major step forward in strengthening our streaming offering by fully integrating Hulu into Disney Plus. This will create an impressive package of entertainment, pairing the highest caliber brands, franchises, great general entertainment, family programming, news, and industry-leading live sports content in a single app. What's interesting about it is it's really difficult to get the list of ratings in terms of who's the top tier streaming platforms, but Netflix, Prime, Disney Plus are the top three, and that fluctuates as to who they are. So you have Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus, they're all the top three. Hulu falls down in like the 6-7 category on the list, which I always thought was interesting. And when Disney owning as much as they did of Hulu, and now boom, they own it, Hulu is getting folded in. So all that rated R content, everything will be moved over to Disney Plus. Obviously, you have your parental controls and everything, but I think it's a cool thing, if you will. So there. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think the whole like ranking of streaming services is funny because I personally find myself using Hulu and HBO Max the most. But maybe that's just based on like my watching habits. But honestly, for a while, Hulu and Disney Plus have kind of becoming it's they've kind of Hulu's be kind of Hulu has kind of became a redundant streaming service to an extent because it's like most of it is already available on Disney. You could see this merge coming together. So personally, I don't think it changes too much. It's just going to be weird when I'm like, you know, where I would go to Hulu to watch like anime or like, you know, soon we're going to be watching Alien Earth and stuff. It's going to be kind of weird to be switching between like Alien Earth on the Disney Plus tab right next to like the Young Jedi Adventures that my kid was watching. Sure. I might have to keep a closer eye on that sort of thing. But otherwise, I don't think this is very I don't think it's like that big of an issue. You know, I don't know where you're sitting with it, but
I think we knew there was going to, it's just that they were kind of, I feel like they were bracing us for it when they're just like, hey, by the way, you're going to see Hulu options on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
Now I have not been using the Hulu tab because I use Hulu. Okay. Where I sit on this is as long as my continue watchings on Hulu carry over, I'm in. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the big thing for me because I do have stuff I'm in the middle of on Hulu and I would like it to carry. So like when I turn on my Disney Plus, there's, hey, your continue watchings and it's all waiting there for me. That's what I do.
I would agree with that, you know,
because if you want to combine all those libraries, it just means there's more options. Right. And I'm totally like, cool, let's do it. You know, it's going to totally change my Disney Plus algorithm because when I turn on Disney Plus, it's like you should watch all the Star Wars stuff and all this Marvel stuff. And here's a documentary or two that we think you'd like. But it's like very specific. And when you turn on Hulu, it's like you should be watching all this anime.
Right,
and, right. It depends on what you're using your streaming services for. I did read an article that Netflix is actually, they said 50% of their user base uses Netflix for anime, which I thought was crazy. I did not expect it to be that high. You know, when you think about the general consumer, like more people are watching anime than I think you and I like to joke around about.
Yeah. I've kind of noticed like anime is just in such a high point. I think it's kind of like ever since COVID, like ever since everybody was in lockdown and they had nothing to do. That's when like I feel like anime streaming just like blew up and it's just like so popular right now. So that doesn't surprise me. But I also like Drew, I know we talked about this. It might have been off of the show, but I kind of wonder about Netflix's statement there. You know, 50% of its users or whatever are using Netflix to watch anime. Does that mean they're actively watching like the latest anime series every week? Or does that mean they have watched anime before? You know,
that's a great question.
Do they watch an episode of Evangelion or do they watch like constantly watching like new anime? So I think that is a very that is something to think about. So
that is true, but they also could be, it could just be them like, hey, we have like all this data, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. But I do think it's cool. Like anime is kind of blown up and it's just one of those things I notice like as I get older, like the things everybody had to be quiet about and, you know, the things people made fun of you for watching in high school, eventually they become cool. So really, really exciting stuff on that front.
All right. One more news story. We'll see how the Hulu thing shakes out. But one more story. This is kind of a scary one because I'm kind of wondering what this all means. But it is a science story and I haven't done one of these in quite some time. So Drew's science stories for the week. August 2nd, 2027, the entire world will go dark for 6 minutes. Okay. This is cool. So check this out. A rare, breathtaking phenomenon will unfold, a total solar eclipse lasting 6 months, an event that occurs only once every century. The moon will completely obscure the sun, plunging several regions into temporary darkness. This remarkable occurrence is highly anticipated by scientists and skywalkers alike, presenting a unique opportunity to witness an awe-inspiring force of nature at work. So once a century, the entire planet goes dark for 6 minutes. That's nuts. And the fact that we're going to get to see, it in literally like 2 years. Right? So 25, 26. Yeah. We're 2 years out and we're going to get to live through this. That's awesome. But it's scary because you're like, what can happen in 6 minutes?
This is great. It's hilarious. It's super interesting. I can't wait to see the memes about it.
I know. And the like, fact that I'm
like, people are like, oh crap, I went to the bathroom and I missed the eclipse. And just like, I don't know. This is going to be a great cultural phenomenon. So
now
thanks for pointing
it will
this
be.
Out,
and it will be. And I'm telling you right now, we are the only show at all talking about this, you know, because as we get closer, we're going to be like a couple weeks out. And that's when the media and all this stuff is going to start talking about it. Like they got it first. Here we're 2 years out, you know, we got it first. And I'm going to say that we're the only ones talking about it. Here we go. Right.
I work an office job and I won't go into details, but you know, people buy stuff for my business and, I sell things to people. And, the last time that there was a solar eclipse, no one ordered anything. It was like the slowest day ever, all just because there was a solar eclipse. So I always thought that was funny. Like, are you serious? Across the whole country, nobody's doing any work because of an eclipse. So I guess that's something we all have to look forward to as well.
Yeah.
Now, Drew, I know you work in law enforcement and things might be much different for you. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the world ending. Lights come back on.
Yeah.
Right. The amount of car accidents.
Or just like the amount of car accidents. Like
that can happen in 6 minutes.
Holy crap. Everything's dark. Crash. Like, oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah. What is happening? Good thing most people's cars have auto lights.
Yeah. Good call.
At any rate, that brings us to the end of the news and watching and reading and stuff. Do you want to talk about tonight's list?
Yeah, sounds good. Let's go for it.
Cool. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And now for the top five.
All right, Peter, this week was your pick for our top five list. Do you want to explain to everyone what we were doing?
Yeah, list idea just kind of came to me out of nowhere. I don't necessarily know what sparked this in my mind, but I just thought it would be kind of entertaining. And so I just decided this week we're going to talk about our top five favorite pop culture characters, or I guess fictional characters is a better way to phrase it. Our top five fictional characters that we would like to follow on social media, and whether that's Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want to go with this. I just thought it was an entertaining conversation. The way I approached my list was, these are fictional characters, so it's already not real, so I don't care how not real it is. So there's some characters on my list that don't even fit into a timeline where there would be social media, but regardless, you would still want to see what they're posting on Twitter every day. So that's kind of the approach I took with it. I didn't think this was too hard of a list to put together, though. It was just kind of like, you know, who in the world of pop culture and fiction would post cool stuff? You know what I mean? Drew, I don't know where you're sitting with this one. I don't know if you found this difficult or fun. Or
I had,
yeah,
I had
your
a,
take is.
I had a ton of fun putting this list together. I struggled a little bit at the beginning, but it was more of the idea that, because my first, it was like the very first thought, you're like, all right, comic book characters. No, none of them would be on social media because they'd all be really well guarded. Do you know what I mean? Like that went through my head real quick. And then I was like, but the ones like that could be on social media, like Beast Boy, he'd be on social media, but I bet he would be obnoxious. You know what I mean? So like that went through my head, and then I was like, okay, stay away from superheroes. And then my brain started clicking and I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I have one character that is superhero-esque related, and I saved him for my honorable mention only. And then the rest are all over the place. And I think I'll be shocked if we match on any of these, but I think you're going to be like, I think my list is completely you never would have thought about it kind of a thing. So
that's what I'm hoping for with a list like this.
As opposed to my absolute favorites or top five, this was more of me just like, oh, this would be great if they were on social media.
That's what I'm hoping for with a list like this. But yeah, it'll be interesting. There's maybe one and a half characters that I thought maybe we'll match on, but we'll see how the list goes. But again, with what you just said, maybe that won't be an option at all with how this list is going to play out. But I do have like a couple superhero adjacent things. I do have one cheat, but I think I have a good balance between grounded characters and just out there batshit crazy stuff. So it'll be fun. Do you have two honorable mentions, or where are you sitting?
No, I have one.
All right. Well, I have two, so I guess I'll have to start.
You sure do.
The first one is a character that I actually already mentioned on the show. And I think it's mostly because I'm watching Cobra Kai, but I did put Johnny Lawrence on there. The show does go into this a bit. Like, they show how Johnny Lawrence gets a Facebook page and stuff. And this one is an honorable mention because he obviously doesn't post a lot. He doesn't post a lot on Facebook. But I do think, like, this is a character who's so out of touch, but also, like, so blunt and real that I could see, like, over time, if he had, like, a Facebook page or a Twitter page, he could, he could get a following. Like, his page could take off, and he could end up being, like, one of those, like, older dudes who's not the most tech-savvy but has hilarious opinions, and everybody would just, like, crack up at the stuff he posts. So that's kind of what I went with, why I went with this one. But I do think that's because I'm fully steeped in the Cobra Kai world right now.
Sure.
That definitely probably influenced this pick.
This is a good call because it would turn into like that. It's like the Gen X says Twitter page. You know what I mean? Grandpa Gen X or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what Johnny Lawrence would have turn into.
Almost reminds me of we talked about Hulk Hogan. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but after Hulk Hogan passed away, people started digging up like old tweets, and there was one where Hulk Hogan thought that Bam Margera was dead for some reason, and he's like, I miss my buddy Bam Margera, rest in peace. And then Bam responds to it like, still alive, buddy, but I miss you too. Like, I feel like Johnny Lawrence's feed would be that sort of post, and I think it would be amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you said you had two honorable mentions, right?
Yes, 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 I do.
All right, so that throws it to me. All right.
Yep.
It throws it to me. So my only honorable mention, this is that thing where I was like, this is the superhero one, okay? Who would be, and I thought about it, I was like, you know, Jimmy Olsen, no. Because now we're dealing with thirst trap Jimmy Olsen. He's going to have a Twitter page. He's going to have an Instagram page, but I don't really care about what he's got going on. And then I was like, Beast Boy would be like the annoying one in the group. You know, Booster Gold would have an Instagram or a Twitter page. And you're just like, yeah, but I don't care about Booster Gold. But then I was like, who would have one? And then I started thinking about the Bat family. I'm like, but no, they'd be so guarded because they don't want anyone to know. Because I was originally thinking Batgirl would be a cool one because she would probably have like a Twitter or Instagram or something like that. And, you know, but she would use it in a really cool detective way. And then I realized the ultimate superhero social media would be Matches Malone, who is Batman. Because Batman would use the social media to solidify Matches Malone in that mob crime lord world. And he'd use the, and he'd play with it and like use it to manipulate, and it'd be awesome. In like the most subtle way possible, if you will. So that's why I was like, I just thought Matches Malone would be a cool one, but Matches Malone is an alter ego of Batman. So yeah, there you go.
Dang, this is an awesome.
It's kind of a meta pick, if you will. You know,
Yeah, it's off the beaten path, but it's pretty interesting. And it would be interesting to see a character like this posting on social media, especially if it's like to gain clout within the world of organized crime.
Right.
It would also be interesting to think about, like, in a world where you're, you know, Matches Malone is on Twitter, do you, like, you wouldn't know that's Batman or Bruce Wayne. So that's also like another thing to think about. So it kind of depends on how meta you want to get with the scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, or absolutely. Like, are you the guy who's following him who has the conspiracy theory, like, oh, this is actually Batman who's actually Lex Luthor, or, you know, it's like the conspiracy theories over who this person actually is could be pretty funny. So
good stuff. Right. Yeah. All right, man. What's your other honorable mention?
Yeah. So I'll go right into another comic book pick, or superhero pick, I guess I should say. I actually went with Kick-Ass, and Kick-Ass, this is one where I'm familiar with the movies, of course. I've never read the actual comic books proper, but Kick-Ass, this is something that they actually go into in the movie. If you remember, Kick-Ass had a MySpace page where he posted, like, videos of, like, his exploits, you know? Like, oh, I beat up these thugs over here. Here's a video that, like, you know, some random citizen witnessed, and I'm going to put it on my MySpace page to gain clout. And then if you remember, Big Daddy and Hit Girl actually looked up his IP address from that and were able to find out where he lived. So Kick-Ass was maybe not as tech savvy as he should be to be doing such things. But either way, this I picked because I was thinking a lot about how, you know, in the 2010s, I feel like, you know, late 2000s, 2010s, we saw the huge superhero boom in cinema, you know, the MCU, the DCEU, movies like Kick-Ass even. Like, we saw this huge uprising of superhero and nerd content, which is amazing, and it's what gives us the world we live in today. And I was thinking about, like, all the adjacent things, and I remember there's people like Phoenix Jones, who was, like, a real-life superhero, and he, like, gained a lot of social media clout. And there was also all these other, like, adjacent real-life superheroes, which were people who are, you know, in the daytime they were working out and they were sharpening weapons and stuff, but in the nighttime they were going out and trying to fight crime. And some of these people were just people who would wear a costume and they would go out and dress up and join, like, the local neighborhood watch. And some people were trying to actually fight crime. I'm sure there's still some, like, real world superheroes out there, but the thing with Phoenix Jones, who was kind of, I feel like he was the biggest name in that sort of movement. Phoenix Jones, if I remember correctly, I heard that there was a weird thing where he actually got involved in some sort of crime, and it turned out he wasn't necessarily as upright of a citizen, upright of a citizen as he was trying to portray himself to be. And, you know, stuff like that's kind of disappointing to hear, because I actually always thought that real world superhero stuff was pretty cool. And that's really why I picked Kick-Ass. Like, the idea of just watching a real world superhero posting every week about all the thugs and criminals and whatever it is, all the people whose asses they kicked that week, sounds pretty entertaining. And I don't know if we've had the real world equivalent that's, you know, panned out as well as we wanted it to be. So there you go.
Yeah. And then the not only that, but, like, you get a glimpse of his social media as well as when you're watching the show, just because he has an online, he knows he needs an online presence, you know? So this is a really good call, because, you know, like, he's got a superhero network that he meets up with people and all that stuff too, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reason why this is an honorable mention is mostly because they actually did go into it a little bit in the movie. So it felt like it was too obvious, if you will. So.
Sure. All right. This throws it to me for my first actual pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we are going with Mabel Pines from the TV show Gravity Falls. do you know this show?
Not as much as I should.
Not, but you know of it.
Yes, I know what the show is. I might have seen an episode or two, but I didn't dive into this one the same way I dove into like
Phineas and Ferb
Adventure Time or regular show or you know whatever it is.
Yeah. So Gravity Falls is a Disney cartoon. It's one of those Disney XD, so it's like the older age cartoons, if you will. Not like adult, but like your teen high school age is what they're focused on there. And your junior high age, right? And Gravity Falls is a very supernatural location or town or forest or you know however you want to word it. And it's very like X-Files-y type stuff. Like, you know, like Bigfoot, for example. And Mabel Pines, she's the girl. And like of all the characters on the show, I was like, of all the weird stuff that goes on in Gravity Falls, she'd be the one with the best social media because she's tracking it out. She's like borderline gonna, she's gonna grow up and become a ghost hunter. You know what I mean? Awesome. So all the weird stuff she'd be posting online and all that stuff. Like, did you guys see this? Or today we're doing this, or you know what I mean? Could be like, it'd be some really fun stuff. So yeah, that's why I was thinking Mabel Pines from Gravity Falls.
Classic. I love it.
I don't have a lot to say about it. It's more of, you know, so yeah.
I'm not super familiar with this character, but I'm loving everything you're saying. It sounds awesome and sounds like a really cool pick. That's not like a meme-y pick. You're not like, oh, she's going to post some funny crap. It's kind of a cool pick because you're like, I'm actually interested in what she's going to post about. So nice.
The majority of my list is very outside the box from what I normally would do. So, yeah. Anyway.
Awesome.
Anyway, so what do you
got? Yeah, I was going to save this one for a little bit later, but since we're on the sort of ghost hunting train, I actually went with the Ghostbusters as a team, as a company. I would want to like follow the official Ghostbusters like Instagram page or something like that if the actual Ghostbusters existed in the real world. Because how cool would that be, you know? Like if you compare the Ghostbusters to like if you compare the Ghostbusters to a movie like Men in Black, you know, like Men in Black, they save us from alien invasions and, you know, sort out like UFO sightings and whatever it is. But Men in Black, like, work from the shadows. Like, they don't want people to know about this alien world they live in. And they even like erase people's memory and stuff to accomplish that. But the Ghostbusters, they're like in your face about it. They're like, no, paranormal stuff happens when it does. We're here to help you out. Let me show you some of the equipment we have and stuff like that. And I just think it would be great to like imagine like watching like the Ghostbusters like official Instagram page and you're watching, you know, like Peter Venkman standing there like holding the trap or something like, oh yeah, we just caught this crazy ghost, yada yada, like just telling you like just straight up like this is what happens. And then you have like Ray might come on and he might spot off some like super technical jargon and stuff like that. And I just feel like it would be so entertaining but also super interesting because it would be one of those things where you're getting a sight into like the actual world of the paranormal and you're doing it with a team that is really upfront about like, this is what we got going on. You guys need help. We're here to do it. And then furthermore, like it'd be cool to jump into the comments and that would just be ripe for arguments because there's all these people who are going to be like, oh, these guys are hacks. They're just making it up. It's a scam. And then there's other people who are going to be like, oh, these Ghostbusters saved my life from some demon that was haunting my house. And like, I just think endless amounts of just interesting content and entertainment, like the Ghostbusters, like official social media page would be amazing. So there's my first official pick of the night.
And not only that, but you know, that would be like, that's the next step. You know what I mean? Of all the ways of them getting out there, like the TV commercials, we believe you, you know what I mean? Like that's their tagline, you know, at the end of all, like hashtag, we believe you, you know what I mean? Like there you go. Right. Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go a little out of the box again on my end. A good call on Ghostbusters, by the way. But this one I'm pretty sure is going to get a laugh out of you. But I went with Chris Keller from One Tree Hill.
Amazing. Made my short list. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Did it. But the level of arrogance alone would be just so much fun to like look at the Twitter feed or the Instagram feed or whatever the case may be. Like, I love that one concert in the show when he like finishes his song and everyone's like cheering for him and he's like, thanks, you've been adequate. Like, it's that kind of stuff that made me like, oh my God, this is going to make do it. Chris Geller needs some kind of social media presence. But yeah, I didn't have much to say on it, but I just thought, like, that's a really funny pick, but it's a really solid pick at the same time. So
Chris Keller, he made my short list, and he's such a great character because he's that sort of like, he's so pompous and arrogant, but there's something about him that makes you root for him and makes you like, I can't stand this guy, but I also think he's like really cool at the same time. He's like that sort of character. I was so close to picking him for my pick, but I didn't know if I had like a weird recency bias just since I like just watched through One Tree Hill with my wife and stuff. But amazing pick. Chris Keller is a hilarious character, and I can just picture him being like, you know, making like a super snide post on Twitter and then people arguing against him in the comments and then him being just even more snide and more of like a jerk to these people. I just think it would be amazing. So really good call with this one, but yeah. Definitely out of left field. So awesome.
All right, man. What do you got for me?
Yeah. So my next pick, oh man, where do I go from here? You know what? I'm going to keep going with the flow. You just said Chris Keller, who is a, you know, big musician in the world of One Tree Hill. I'll go with my one musical pick, because that is one thing that I thought of. You know, one thing I love social media for, ever since like the MySpace days, I love social media for keeping up with my favorite musical artists. And even like Instagram is a great place to find new musical artists. Like, it's one of those things where Instagram bands pop up and 9 times out of 10, they're garbage. But you find every once in a while, you find that diamond in the rough and you keep bumping their album over and over again. And that's what's awesome about it. And I was thinking about which fictional bands I would most want to follow. And it really comes down to one band, and it's one band that I've mentioned multiple times on the show. I'm going to continue mentioning it, but It's definitely the band Death Clock from Metalocalypse. And when it comes down to it, who Death Clock is in the show would be the one band to follow on social media. Because Death Clock, yes, they're a death metal band. Yes, they're the biggest metal band of all time. But they also function as their own country. Like, they own a massive plot of land with their own government, with their own citizens. Like, they're kind of like this force of like, they're almost like a scourge on the rest of the world with the havoc they cause. And so like, that's another thing to think about is like, if Death Clock actually existed, like if there was this band that would perform and like, you know, thousands of people were dying at their concerts and stuff in the real world, would I think that's a good thing? I don't know. But when we're talking about in the world of fiction, yeah, this is the band you're going to follow. It's that ridiculous and out there and entertaining. I don't know if I need to say more, except that Metalocalypse is an amazing animated series that everybody needs to watch. And yeah, I don't know if I have too much more to say on this one, but I think Death Clock is the one fictional band that you would have to follow. Or at least, even if you don't want to give them the follow, you have to keep an eye on what they're doing, because what they're doing could cause massive issues for the rest of the world. So there you go.
Yeah, I absolutely. This is a good call. And as soon as you started talking, like, you're like my musical pick, I'm like, it's Metalocalypse. Yeah, I know exactly where you're going with this. All right, I'm going to stay with the cartoon thing, and I'm shifting back over to the realm of Disney. And this one I batted around a little bit in the realm of where this comes from, because I'm like, is this the character you'd follow? And after several rounds of like on and off the list, this landed. But I'm gonna go with Vanessa Doofenshmirtz from Phineas and Ferb. She's the daughter of Dr. Doofenshmirtz, the villain of the show. And I really feel like she, this would be like stuff my dad says, because she's the daughter of the worst villain in the tri-state area. And I really think that the hilarity that would ensue just from like, are you serious? That like, wait, what am I reading right now? Is this for real? Like, you know, I think it'd be one of those kind of like, social media things, or she'd be like taking a selfie and you'd see like some weird thing behind her, right? You're like, what is going on? Yeah. So yeah, there you go.
Nice. Good call. Phineas and Ferb is another one of those shows that I've watched a handful of episodes of. You definitely know the show better than me, Drew. But my favorite part is that you're just pulling out these random cartoon characters, which is amazing because, outside of Death Clock, I don't know if I have a lot of cartoon characters. So I think that's awesome. Good call with this one. I think my issue is I wasn't as big of a Disney Channel cartoon fan, and that's some of the references you're picking. So I don't stuff to say.
It's not like I watched a ton on Disney Channel, but it's literally like just thinking about it. I'm like, when you were like fictional characters, my brain, when I shifted off of superheroes, my brain went to cartoons so fast. And I'm like, man, the stuff. And then I was like, well, who would have a social media? And then I was like, who probably has one that would like, because I was like, I went old school too, because I was like, okay, Jetsons. I'm like, no, they'd be boring. And then I was like, Flintstones, nope, they'd be boring. You know what I mean? And I was kind of bouncing around and I was like, ooh, Samurai Jack. And I'm like, nah, he wouldn't post anything. You know, like, it, right? So I'm like, who would actually use it? And that's where I started like grabbing the names that I grabbed. So anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally know what you mean, though, because a lot of the action cartoons and like comic books, like you would think about these characters, like they're not going to post on social media. And I hope I'm not ruining any picks for you, Drew, but I was even thinking about Deadpool a little bit because I'm like, Deadpool would be hilarious, you know, on social media. But then I'm like, but he's a hired assassin. Like, I don't really think he would be, even though his personality is hilarious, I don't think he's going to be posting a lot and like making his presence known to the world and stuff. So there is like a lot of catch-22s and stuff that you run into.
Star-Lord I thought of, but then I was like, he'd be the most Debbie Downer person on social media. I really do believe this. But I I don't know, you know. So
yeah, Star-Lord is I think he's like one of those people who like half of his posts annoy you because he's like sorting out his feelings and stuff, but every once in a while he shares like a YouTube clip of a song, or he shares a new playlist, and you're like, okay, this is what I'm following you for. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I can go ahead and move into my next pick. I was just talking about Death Clock and the onslaught of political and moral ramifications they would bring on to the world. And I guess I'll keep things political a little bit. I was thinking about like in the world of politics, because, you know, news and politics, that's a great thing to follow on social media. Maybe it's not a great thing, but it's a thing that a lot of people do. It's a thing that I find myself following a lot. I promise I'm not getting political here, but I was thinking in that realm, like in the real world, like the issues that go on, who are the people I would want to see comment on it? And of course, my mind goes to Game of Thrones. And that's why my next pick is actually Tyrion Lannister. I was thinking
about Game of Thrones, I knew what you were talking about.
Absolutely. Like, who else would you pick from that world? But again, he drinks and he knows things. Like, he's one of the most knowledgeable people. He says everything like it is, but you also know that there's a sense of like he's saying everything to benefit himself in a way, but he's also blunt in a way too, and he says things like it is, but also in a way to get what he wants. And it's like, that's kind of an interesting thing. I feel like in the real world a lot of politicians and stuff do similar things, actually. But Tyrion, can you imagine following his Twitter page and like what he would say and like the crazy like news cycle we live in nowadays? This is my biggest cheat, because Tyrion is from a world that doesn't exist in our realm. He's from a time period that doesn't exist. So he doesn't exist in modern times. But I was just thinking, like, Tyrion's Twitter page in real time would be one of those Twitter pages that you just have to follow because you have to know what's really going on. That's why I went this
is one. This is a great pick, and I totally hear what you're saying, because he would call them all out.
Absolutely.
You
know,
in like the best way possible. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't matter what you say in who you voted for or what you say in a Senate hearing or whatever the case may be. He'd literally call you out no matter what it is. And he'd be smarter than you. So, you know, good call with Tyrion Lannister. But if you want to start with a guy who drinks and knows things, we're going to go on the other side of the spectrum to another guy that also knows things. And I think he'd be the greatest person to follow on any social media whatsoever. And that's John Raffio from Parks and Rec.
Nice.
You've watched Parks and Rec, right? Or at least you know who John Raffio is. I follow Ben Schwartz on Twitter and Instagram, and he has some amazing posts and stuff like that. However, following his character, John Raffio, would be amazing. That guy believes he has fashion sense. He's got, he's like the man of the ladies. He is like his thoughts on waxing, his thoughts on, like, it's just the stuff that comes out of that guy's mouth when you watch the show. It's like, this needs to be a Twitter page by itself.
Yeah, this is an amazing pick. I don't know if this one's that far off from Chris Keller, to be honest.
Right. Well, Chris Keller is going to be the arrogant musician, right?
Yeah.
And that's his thing. And John Raffio is going to be utter chaos.
Right? Yeah. Not. I love it. I just think Chris Keller kind of enjoys like being a jerk to people, and John Raffio is just kind of like, unknowingly, like, he's unknowing how annoying he is. But yeah, also like hilarious, like just watching what he would post, how it would rub people the wrong way. And it's stuff that could range from like, he could be commenting on, like, he could be making like real-time social commentary, or he could just be talking about like going out, like going clubbing like that night or something, right, like that. But I think it's one of those things where in the comments everybody's gonna either be praising him or pissed off, and that's gonna be amazing too. So good call with this one. You bringing this up, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you've watched all the Sonic movies, and I can't remember which one it is, but there's definitely a John Raffio line in one of the Sonic movies, since Ben Schwartz does the voice of Sonic. But I know there's one of the movies where Sonic says something's the worst, like he says in Wreck.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's he's talking about his sister when he says that.
Yeah. But he definitely says it in it's one of the lines as Sonic. He definitely says that. So awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your second to last pick of the night?
Yeah, I'll go with my last sort of super grounded pick. I actually don't think I've had many outside of Johnny Lawrence. I don't know if I've had many grounded picks, but this is besides Tyrion, Drew, this is the one that I thought we might match on. Because I was thinking of characters that I like from pop culture. I was thinking of characters that make me laugh and that I would want to just see their daily thoughts. And that's what led me to picking Chandler Bing. And if we didn't match on this, I'm sure this was on your short list sort of thing.
It definitely was on my short list. No, we didn't match on it. And literally when you said it, you don't understand. My final pick for the night is the one I'm the most excited about. It was the very first thing I wrote down, and I was like, please, Peter, don't pick this, because I really wanted your reaction. But yeah, no, Chandler Bing is a great pick in terms of his observational comedy, if you will.
Yeah, because exactly.
It's very quick-witted observational stuff. So that's why that would be amazing.
And thinking about that, like, with, like, again, like, the news feed we live in now, and whether it's, like, pop culture entertainment stuff or, like, real-world politics, I could just see Chandler, like, retweeting stuff and having just witty one-liners about everything and just being hilarious. But also, like, this kind of, it gets a little bit maybe too deep with it, but thinking about Chandler as a character, he was always the funny character on Friends. And I remember they had like the weird like flashback alternate timeline episodes where Chandler like really wanted to be a writer for Archie Comics. And if you watch the first season of Friends, like the first season of Friends, like, they always had Chandler was, like, the funny guy, in quotes, and he had, like, he'd always wear, like, weird, like, funny-looking ties, and he'd be reading, like, comic books instead of, like, Sports Illustrated or whatever it is. And I think, like, there's this weird, like, sadness to Chandler where, like, yeah, he works, like, this weird office, like, data entry job, whatever it is. But deep down, I'm sure he wanted to be, like, a comedian. And in a world of social media, I feel like he's that one of those guys who would post, like, these witty one-liners to things. And he would actually find his audience when it comes to the real world. Like, he'd actually gain a following just because he'd be hilarious. And maybe there'd be a different outcome for Chandler. Maybe Chandler would become like a world famous comedian or something like that. That's something I think about. So yeah, probably went too deep with it, but Chandler would be hilarious to follow online. You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. It'd be totally cool. And maybe you'd get some like fallout from his like, you know, because between him and Joey, Joey was always the player, right? He was always bringing home the girls, and Chandler would not be, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, where would that sit in the bank of things, you know? So that'd be
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Funny, just to see how that played out. All right, man, I am dying for your reaction to this because I was thinking about social media, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, who knows, Facebook, MySpace, it doesn't matter what you're digging into. And I feel like this character would be very behind the times, not fully embracing or understanding, but he would also understand that social media is a way of control and manipulation and would try and use it in the most utter failure of a way. And we would all be laughing our way through this. But dude, seriously, Invader Zim.
Oh, absolutely.
It was the first name I thought of, and I'm like, this would be so amazing. He would literally try and use social media, be like, all right, none of these other tactics are working, I'm gonna use social media to take over the world. And unfortunately, he would probably succeed using social media in all the ways that he wanted to, but then come up short because of the downside of social media. So Invader Zim.
Yeah, that's actually great. Like, I could see, like, Invader Zim, like, using social media, like, whatever app it is, and realizing that he can, again, like you said, gain control over people. And it's one of those things where he'd probably, like, start building up, like, a cult following. And it'd be like he'd build his own like Project Mayhem group who's gonna take over the world and stuff, and it's gonna get to like that final like climactic event where they're gonna go out and like attack some like major thing or something, and he's gonna say like that one thing wrong that's gonna get
canceled.
It'd be an amazing Invader Zim episode.
It would be.
I know they did like a Invader Zim movie, right? Like, I feel like Netflix had like a special or something that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, they did, and I never actually watched it, and I feel bad being an Invader Zim fan. Maybe I need to check that out.
I mean, that just goes back to like there's so much out there, you can't watch everything.
I know, it sucks.
But that would be a great, if they did another Invader Zim special, that would be an amazing plot, like Invader Zim's like social media cult that he tries to use to take over the world. So Nickelodeon, Jonan Vasquez, we know you're listening. You can take that idea for free.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all right, man, what's your final pick for the night?
Yeah, with the vibe we have going, I kind of wish I picked a funnier pick for the end, because my last one's kind of serious, but I just think it would be so cool, especially when you think of the world of when it comes to like Instagram reels and TikToks, and you think about all the people who are like, you know, there's all the conspiracy theorists, there's all the paranormal investigators. And this is a concept I thought of. Now, this is my big cheat, because it's not technically like a named character, but you're totally going to see where I'm going with this, true. And it's okay. What I was thinking is a random social media influencer that lives in the vicinity of Spawn Alley from the Spawn comic books and animated series, etc. Because I think it'd be kind of crazy if, like, you think about Spawn, like, New York City it makes sense that there would be like big name, like Instagram influencers out there or whatever. And you think about like, you know, people talking about like, oh man, there's like all these crazy like deaths that have been happening in this one alley. Like there's these drug dealers that were taken out. There's this and that. The police are investigating like this new event. They don't even know what happened. And you think about like somebody just spouting off the details of like all the stuff that's happening around like the alley that Spawn lives. But then you think about that person's downward spiral into the world of conspiracy theories and paranormal, you know, where at first they're just reporting like there's a lot of weird crime activity. We can't really explain it, but the aftermath is weird. And then they go down the spiral and they're like, I think there might have been a vampire involved. Or, you know, witnesses think they're seeing aliens. And their ultimate conclusion, like, we're literally seeing a battle between heaven and hell going on right now. And then you think about the comments on all these videos that like this person's crazy. They don't know what's going on, but they're actually telling the truth, you know? And I think that was just a cool concept. When you think of all those weird conspiracy, like TikTok people and stuff, imagining the person going down the rabbit hole of what's going on in Spawn Alley, the idea was just so cool to me. I almost not wanted to be like a found footage film or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it turns into like Spawn Alley Blair Witch Project, if you will. Like this is
absolutely
this is actually a really interesting idea because they'd be like the guy who would be bothering Sam and Twitch because they're the detectives, right? Yeah. And they'd be like, dude, go away. We're not, you know, you're just the weirdo that lives in the alleyway. No, but dude, I saw something. You got to watch the video. You know what I mean? Like, dude, right? There's stuff going on. Like, I know it. They're aliens. No, they're not aliens. Well, there's something, you know, like...
Yeah, or you could see it like if it's like a influencer who goes and like interviews like one of the homeless people living in the alley, and the person says like, "Oh, I saw this man with superpowers and wearing a big red cape and stuff," and the person would be like, "So you heard it here first, but I don't believe it," sort of thing. But then after like the weeks and months go by, like the person's full fledged like conspiracy board, like red yarn hanging everywhere, like they're totally buying it. And I just thought the concept was so fun. I had to go with this one. So
yeah, dude, this is awesome. Good call on the Spawn Alley conspiracy theorist, if you will.
Absolutely.
All right, this brings us to the end of said episode. Peter, you want to talk about what we're doing next week?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. So next week, it is my pick. We haven't done an actor in a while. I've been trying to figure out. I've been actually thinking about this for a little while. Like, what would be a good actor? Because we don't jump on the actor train very often or the filmmaker train very often. And like some, like I always thought to myself, let's do Christopher Nolan movies. But I don't feel like his film catalog is big enough for us to do yet because it's just going to be you and I matching on movies. You know what I mean? And yeah, we can talk about it, but I don't feel like his catalog is big enough yet.
We did do Zack Snyder, so
we did. We did. But you see my point, right?
Yeah.
So I was kind of looking at like let's pick someone who's done a lot of just fun movies that we get to laugh at and enjoy and have a good time with. So I'm going Jason Bateman.
Oh, fun.
It'll be fun. So Jason Bateman movies next week. I think it'll be cool to look at. I kind of did a quick Google search myself just to take a quick peek, and I was like, oh yeah, this will be a fun list to discuss. Even if you and I match on a bunch, it'll be a cool one to discuss. So
I feel like Jason Bateman's a cool actor to go with too, because he's so known for like as being like a comedic actor, but I feel like he's been in a number of serious roles as well, so that'll be kind of fun to get into.
Yeah. All right, man. Anything else before we close this episode out?
No. Yeah, that's all I got.
Awesome. Well, everybody, do us all a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. There you'll find links to all of our social media, along with a link to our email, top5report@gmail.com. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible. If you subscribe to us in those places, you will not miss a single episode. You can also leave us a review. We love those 5 stars, but we understand criticism because it helps us get better and it makes the words we say feel important. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Drew3927. Peter, what about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Ninja Pierre. But first, we must observe the ancient ritual of the traditional pre-fight donut.
Ah, yes, the pre-fight donut. All right, everybody, for the top five report, I'm Drew.
I'm Peter.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.